Have you ever made a statement? I've been thinking about this because I've caught myself saying this, and in fact, I was texting with my sister the other day, and she used the same phrase, and I've caught myself saying, I just don't have capacity for this. Did you ever say that? I just don't have capacity for this. And my sister texted me that phrase the other day. I just don't have capacity for that right now. And phrases like, my plate is full. I can't take on one more thing. I don't have room for anything else. Have you ever said those phrases? I have been catching myself saying them kind of frequently lately. And you know, when you frequent phrases and the Holy Spirit just kind of says, So we have been being Holy Spirit, and I have been talking about this phrase, I don't have capacity for. So I want to talk about capacity because it's a real thing that exists in our everyday, both in the natural and in the supernatural. So I want us to kind of read through this, and I've been walking this road with you guys for so many years. It's been so many years, Judy. So good to see you today, and all I know is when I started coming here, I didn't need these. And it's time. You guys have seen me through my single years, and then some married years, and then a child year. I preached 7 months pregnant here one time, so you really got to see all the stages, and now this is a new one. So now that I can see, let's read. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'll give you a second to get there. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read through this whole story, and then we're going to come back kind of piece by piece and talk about it, because there's so many gems in this, and I really believe that Holy Spirit wants to speak to our hearts today. 2 Kings chapter 4. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he received the Lord, or that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what's left." She had a serious problem. And in this story, we see the problem and we see provision. But in the middle, there was this key component called capacity. That was a very critical bridge between the problem and the provision. She was smart. She was a smart woman. She knew to go to the prophet. And, you know, when she went, she said, "My husband's dead. You know that he loved the Lord. You know that he served. You know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take his boys as slaves." How did she get there? She didn't sin. It wasn't sin that landed her in this awful position. It was life. It was just life circumstances. She did nothing wrong. Her husband did nothing wrong. He served the Lord. He died. And now that put her in such a place, and culture had it in those days that if the debts could not be paid, it was cultural and allowable for the creditors to come and take the children as indentured slaves. So this woman who had just lost her husband was now looking at potentially losing her sons. She was faced with the reality that she could be totally alone. Can you imagine that? Think about what she was facing, what she was feeling. Let's dig in a little bit. Let's not gloss over stuff. Can you Can you imagine she was dealing with grief, the pain of loss, loneliness, anger, fear, uncertainty of the future, the pressure to provide, the weight of the responsibility of her family, confusion, questions, care, all these things. Can you imagine what this woman was going through? And then on top of all that, she might lose her sons too. She was a desperate woman. Have you ever felt any of those feelings? We know what it's like to hurt. We know what it feels like to have loss. We know what it is to grieve. We know what it is to feel lonely. We know what it is to feel uncertain of the future. We know what it feels like to be lonely at times in our lives. We know what it feels to carry the weight of responsibility. Some of you moms, you're carrying the weight of your children and their children so much, and it's exhausting. It's wearying beyond what you've ever known in your life, and you're going through that season. We've faced some of the same things, but this is a smart woman. She went to the right place to find what the solution was. And his response was, how can I help you? And then I love this. Tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have? Which, you know, if I were her, I'd be like, I came to you. So what are you going to do to help me out? But he said, what do you have? Because God likes to involve us in the process. When he is working his provision so many times, it also involves our participation. Why? Because he's a good father. You know, if you do everything for your child every day of their lives, you're going to be 15 and still brushing their teeth and changing their underwear. So a good parent begins to share responsibility, begins to say, hey, come along and help me with this. That's a good parent. And that's what the prophet was giving her an opportunity to experience. And that's what Father God gives us an opportunity to experience. What do you have in your house? And I love her answer. She's like, I have nothing there at all. And you know, I don't think that was just a flippant statement. I think that was her reality. I think she had sold her beds. I think she had sold a lot of her stuff. Because again, she was trying to stay out of debt and keep her boys with her. We would do anything to take care of our kids. And I think she was like, okay, we don't really need that table. So I think when she said there's nothing at all, I really think she meant there's nothing at all. Except a little oil, because she knew she couldn't get rid of the thing that had potential to sustain them. She couldn't get rid of what mattered. She knew that the oil was the most precious possession in her house because it had the power to sustain them, the power to feed them. We know that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. Can I tell you that what you need is already in your house? And I'm not talking your physical house. I'm talking this house, the temple of the Holy Spirit. What you need is already in your spiritual house. You have a little oil. That's all right. That's all you need, because his oil is unending. So, okay, we have oil. She understood she couldn't get rid of that. He gives her some instruction in the next verse. And he tells her, okay, you need to go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. I think he was giving her a clue. Hey, there's some big stuff coming. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. Sometimes when we prepare for what God's going to do, we undershoot him, don't we? The God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. The God who parted the Red Sea. The one who fed 5,000 with five fish. No, how many? Five loaves and two fish. Yeah, that's the way it went. That Jesus is on the scene to meet our needs. So don't we undershoot what he's going to do. And then we're not ready and we don't have capacity because we haven't created enough space for him to come and fill. So he was saying, go around, ask your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. She did it. And, you know, I think that some of those jars that her boys went out and got are the very jars that she sold. She didn't go out. Her boys went out. They went out. It took humility to ask for the boys. And I love how, here's the miracle of God. And ladies, this is so important for us with children, grandchildren, kids that we come in contact with, even if you're not a biological mom. The kids we come in contact with, make them a part of the work of God. Make them a part of what God is doing. Give them a front row seat to the miracles that he is about to work. Because it will mark their lives forever. It will carry them through dark times. They will carry it into places of darkness. And they'll be like, I remember the time when carry the children around you into the miracles of God. So these boys went out and asked, and I bet they're like, oh yeah, that was ours. It took humility. Can my mom use that? Imagine what that would feel like to get the things back that maybe you even sold and then to even ask for more. But they did it. They obeyed. Even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's hard, we've got to obey. And these boys went out and started collecting these jars. And I'll tell you why this is important. Because our kids will take on what we put out. Boy, as a mom, I have a six-year-old now. Josiah's six. Can you imagine that? You saw me when I was 7 months pregnant. You saw me before I had a baby. He's 6 years old, and there are things that I see in him, like one specifically, it's right now. And it's hard because kids are like a mirror, right? It's like, oh, really? Okay. But right now, like he will get frustrated with things and he'll grunt. He'll be like, argh. And this is like he misses the pant leg on his pant when he's getting dressed, when we're getting dressed. Ugh. I'd be like, it's really okay, dude. And then you know what I noticed? I do. Maybe not when I get dressed. I've got that skill down pretty well. But I notice it too. Like if I drop something in the kitchen or, you know, splatter something wherever, I'm like, ugh. I'm like, oh, shoot. Yeah. Like he's getting that legit from me. It's a mirror. What we put out, they will pick up on, right? And that can go good or bad way. And I remember hearing a story. There was this mama dog who, her front two legs worked, but the back two, she was paralyzed because of an accident, and she was pregnant. And she had her puppies, and she was being a good mama and taking care of her puppies. And then when it came time for her puppies to start walking, they were only using their front two feet. Even though they had four perfectly working legs, they were only using their front two feet because that's all they saw their mama do. This is why we've got to bring our kids into the front row seat of what God's going to do and the miracles he's going to provide. Because I don't want my kid operating with only 2 feet. I want my child operating in the wisdom and understanding that, oh, there's a problem. That's okay. There's provision. Yes. Yes. Okay. Oh, we need something. Okay. God is on the scene. Yes. We don't feel good. God can heal. Yes, yes. That's what I want my son to pick up on. That's what I want my son to learn. Bring children in to the working of God and give them a front row seat into his miracles. These boys went, and I just imagine, like, you know, they're out there, come on, let's get these, and they're bringing them back into the house, and I think they did a really good job. I think they did their best in getting all these jars. They bring them in, and then the instruction that the prophet gave was, go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. You know, for capacity to be expanded, we often need community. Community is so important. Community, and I'm talking about not just we're coming into the church doors once, twice a week. I'm talking about community. I'm talking about people that you walk with in life. I'm talking about friends that will speak the truth to you even when it might be hard to hear, because my capacity is expanded in my community. I encourage you to be around truth speakers. If you feel like, man, I just don't have friends. I'm lonely. I ask for a friend. And employ Proverbs that says that to have friends, we have to first show ourselves friendly. Sow friendliness. And I know that he will cause us to reap it. I've seen that. I've prayed that way in times of relocation. And I've seen him come through in that. Because capacity is expanded in community. But it doesn't stop there. Capacity also requires privacy. And this is what happened. The prophet's instruction was, go in, close the door behind you. Because the filling happened in private. Capacity was expanded through community, but the filling happened in private. And I understand that privacy changes in different seasons. I get that. I used to not have a child or a husband or kids or whatever. And I remember, like, when I was single, I would be able to just kind of put on a CD and just hang out on my couch and soak. And it was wonderfully glorious. And now the shower has become the holy of holies for me. And even still, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, I heard the door. You know, it's like, I thought I had that shut the whole way. So, yeah, I understand that privacy changes in seasons. You know, some of you are caretakers, and I'm not just talking about children. I'm talking about older people as well. You're caretakers, and privacy for you is different. Here's the beauty of the presence of God. We don't have to have the perfect ambiance to receive. We don't have to have the candles lit, the lighting just right. We can just close in with him for a minute. Go in a different room where somebody is not. Just close ourselves in. Fill me. Fill me. And just like that, he can fill by the Holy Spirit. Because according to the word, he is as close as the mention of his name. Privacy is key in capacity. They began pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And finally, she's like, okay, bring me another one. I think at that point, she's like, come on, let's go, boys. And then they said, there's no more left. The oil stopped flowing. Why? Because capacity is key in God's provision. The miracle corresponded to the capacity. So what is our capacity? What can we hold? What are we posturing ourselves for? What are we ready for in this coming year? What are we looking for God to do? Is it just kind of status quo, like we just want everything to just be okay and just, you know, just not disrupt the apple cart, so to speak? Or are we looking for all that God has for us, for all of his presence, all of his filling? I know that that's in your hearts. Capacity is key. It's a key component, and capacity became the determining factor in that miracle. Our pastor says, you can have anything from God that you can receive from God. There's no limitation on what he can give. I've never known him to fall short. I found that most of the time, the hiccup and the interruption is more on my end and my ability to receive than on his ability to give. So what does that mean? I want a greater capacity to receive. So she had all this oil now. What was she supposed to do with it? She goes back to the prophet, and she's like, okay, what now, basically? And he was like, sell the oil, pay off your creditors, live on what's left. Her capacity became her currency. Her capacity became her currency. And look at that. I love this. It didn't just pay debt. It sustained her for life. And this is something that I believe in the church. God, by his Holy Spirit, is calling us to rise up, to not live just as believers who have their sins paid and we're going to get into heaven, but instead to move into that place where we are living life and life more abundantly. So when the cares and the concerns of this world come, which they will, it doesn't deflate us. It doesn't defeat us. It doesn't knock the wind out of us. It doesn't rip the rug out from under us. Instead, we live in the sustaining grace and oil of the presence of God. That's the church that people will be attracted to. That's the presence that will grab people's attention. It didn't just pay her debts. Jesus didn't just pay our debt. He didn't just wash away our sin. I'm so glad he did, but that's not where he stopped. He sent the Holy Spirit to reside in us, the oil of God taking residence within our very being, not in a room, not in a group of people, in me. Holy Spirit lives inside of us. What does that mean? What do we have access to in our lives? He sustains us, and her capacity became her currency. His oil is unending. And she lived out the rest of her days with her boys, cared for, because he cares. So what does this mean for us? Because I promise you, I am not going to tell you. So spend more time with God. Have a great day. You know, did you ever hear that sometimes? And you're like, okay, let me put that on my plate too, right? And it's just kind of another thing, not that God's another thing, but do you know what I mean? In our own efforts to try to add that to our schedule, add that to our duties, so to speak. And we miss the simplicity of maybe what he wants to work so that literally our relationship isn't, it is the private time, but it is the private, like, I'm just in another room, and I can be with you because you're in me. And right now, I feel really scared, but you can feel me right now. What does this mean for us? How can this come into our everyday, practical, walking, working lives? That's what I want to know. That's what I'm inviting Holy Spirit into for me right now, to work these things in me so that I don't have to use the phrases, I don't have capacity anymore. What does this mean for us? You know, the boys, they went and got empty jars, right? And we know, and you know, there's probably some jars that they had to empty out. There's probably some dirt in there they had to clean out. And there are many times that we're filled, but we're filled with the things that don't give life, right? We're filled with worry and concern for our kids' grades and, and their development, concern for finances, concern about church, or church, maybe it is church stuff, work stuff, might be concerned about our family, might be concerned about our parents. All of that stuff, it can fill us up. And we know that when you fill something, if you don't empty it out first, you just can't add more. It doesn't work that way. It'll just spill and make a huge mess. So, but here's the thing. How do we empty ourselves of the things that take up our capacity? How do we empty ourselves of that? And this is the verse that the Holy Spirit's been bringing to my mind in answer to that question as we've been having our conversation. And he brought John 3:30 to my mind when John said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And Holy Spirit took me to the order of that statement. John didn't say, "I have to decrease so that he can increase." That wasn't the order. The order was, "He must increase so that I decrease." So, you know what I picture? When you pour something in, you begin to displace its contents. And I believe that that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, because Lord knows. One of Jesus' qualms with the Pharisees in the New Testament is you put heavy yokes on people and you don't help them carry it. That was one of his grievances with the Pharisees. You give people lots to do and then you don't help them do it. Jesus didn't like that. So if he didn't like that for them, he doesn't like it for us now. This isn't about do one more thing and then Jesus is like, "When you're done, I'll come." Not at all. That is not the character of Jesus. That is not his heart towards us. His heart isn't fix yourself up and then when you're all ready for me, I'll come and visit you. You know, he's not like that. He must increase, but I must decrease. As he comes and fills, he displaces all the other contents. Ladies, we don't have to fix it. We just need it to be filled. Don't fix it. Fill it. Don't fix it. Fill it. You have fear? He has a displacing agent, and it's called the perfect love of God. The perfect love of God casts out all fear. He must increase, but I must decrease. You've got tiredness, weariness. He's got rest. And what's the invitation? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me, for I am meek. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's not about you emptying yourself. It's not about us fixing ourselves. It's about us posturing to be filled. Perfect love casts out fear. If you have cares, the Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up, because we know what cares do. Cares push you down. So here we go. He lifts us up. We can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. If you're broken heart, Isaiah 61, chew on this. Maybe write it on a sticky or something and put it where you can see it often, wherever that might be, in the kitchen, in the bathroom, whatever. But listen to these exchanges. Listen to this fix versus fill. If you're brokenhearted, Isaiah 61 says he'll bind up. If you're captive, he's got freedom. Release from darkness for prisoners. He has comfort for mourning. He has provision for those who grieve in Zion. He's got a crown of beauty for ashes. You've got ashes in your life? Man, he's got beauty. And you don't have to fix those ashes. They might be in your jar, all that needs to happen. And it's not even this. I'm doing this, but really it's this. Really it's this when it comes to the story of our lives, because he's resident in us. He must increase. And then the decrease happens because he displaces what is taking up capacity in our lives. And he gives the garment of praise for the spirit of despair, depression, anxiety, which is so linked together and so rampant in our society and in our families, and simply incapacitating people. What is that? Incapacitating, making them not able for capacity. But there's an answer, and it's not to fix it. It's to fill it. It's to fill it. Holy Spirit wants to fill. He's not going to put the extra pressure on you fixing you and making you better so that maybe you can get what God wants to give. That's not his character. It's simply whispering, fill me, Jesus. Fill me. All the what my pastor calls pressure talk, AKA when I'm feeling stressed, I want to share it with Eloy. And my tone changes a bit. And my words can get bitey. Holy Spirit's reminding me. Fill it. Fill it. He doesn't have what I need. He has a lot of things I need, but not everything I need. Fill it. Fill it. Don't fix it. Fill it. What's your capacity? What does God want to do in your life? What does he want to release to you? I'm going to ask, maybe some of you could help me real quick. I want to do just a simple thing, and we're going to have some time to enjoy with the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. There's nothing like, this is just a plain piece of paper. That's all it is. But I want us to make an exchange, because I want us to exchange the fixer-upper that we've got going on the inside that's taking up space. I want us to trade that in for the filling of God. So what we're going to do, Eloy's going to come in just a minute and eventually we'll do some more worship. But I just want you to sit for a couple minutes with the Holy Spirit. All I want you to do is with him, think through what's taking up my capacity. What's filling me up that's not giving life? I want return on what fills me. I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste energy on care. I don't want to waste energy on concern. And here's the beautiful thing about him. With Jesus, you can bring your old fixer-upper. Like, he showed me this picture one time of this, like, jalopy of a car being, like, barely driven onto the car lot. And it's, like, you know, sputtering and, you know, barely making it and all of that stuff, and it sounds horrible, and you can tell it's on its last leg, and just bringing it into the car lot really needing something different, and then the owner just coming out with keys to a brand new car and say, here you go. We can bring our fixer-upper stuff to him and trade it in. And I want us to make some trades today. You know what's going on in your heart. You know those things that we talked about that this mama was feeling and facing and what she was going through. I just want you to write those things down as the Holy Spirit brings them to your mind. And then when you're ready, in your time, I just want you to come up. You don't have to turn them in. But I do, sometimes it helps to make a physical act. It's a statement that was so much of a part of the prophet's ministries was physical acts. So I want you to take your paper, your fix-its, that are filling you up and taking up your capacity. And I just throw them down. You can go back to your seat if you want and just sit in the presence of God. You can kneel here if you want. You can begin to worship. You can let worship just pour right over you and you not sing a single note because you're just soaking in the presence of God. But I want us to make some trades. And I don't want to do any of my own work. I've tried and it's really bad. I have to work really hard and I can't sustain it. Oh, but when he comes, he fills and he takes it away. That is what creates capacity for us to receive from the Lord. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher, that you're our comforter, and you know the things that are going on in our lives. You know the things that are taking up space and making it so that we don't have the capacity to receive what you want to give, what you have already provided for us, what you are waiting to extend to us. I thank you for your oil, which is unending, that lives in residence within us. So now I just bless this holy time where we give you our fix-its, where we give you those things that are just taking up space. And we throw them at your feet, Jesus, to just create capacity for your filling. Thank you that your filling displaces all that stuff. And that Holy Spirit, you're shining a light on all those things right now. Just take a deep breath. He helps us breathe when we're in his presence, right? He's our breath. So ladies, we're going to transition here in a few minutes, but I just want to encourage you, when stuff pops up, when you feel afraid, when your tone gets a little jagged, when you're getting impatient with your friends, as I was writing my list, I felt like the Holy Spirit was just saying, Steph, these are the opposites of the fruit of the Spirit. So, more of his Spirit, less of my junk. More of his Spirit, more fruits of his Spirit. So, fear pops up, frustration, anger, cares, fear. I said fear twice. It comes up. We don't have to be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Really, this is a good thing. It's like, oh, something needs to be addressed. It's like a symptom. In our body, we go through, we have symptoms that alert us to something that's going on. It's the same in our spirit. So when you have that step, fear, concern, care, frustration, your tones, just fatigue, all of that stuff, the weight of responsibility, those are symptoms to let you know something's off in your spirit. So we don't have to be discouraged. All we have to do is say, oh, I recognize that. It's an indicator. It's a symptom to just say, excuse me, I need to take care of something. Go into the other room. Come, bathroom's always a worthy excuse. Go into the other room. I've done some business, spiritual business on the toilet. I don't know about you. So you need to do whatever to escape, and you just say, I'm feeling this. I can't fix it, so fill me right here, right now. I'm not waiting until I get to church. I'm not waiting until I can call a friend. Right here, fill me, Holy Spirit. Take a minute and breathe. Take a minute. Don't ignore the symptom. Don't run faster. Don't try to push through all your to-do list. In that state, stop. Let him fill you, because he increases, we decrease. And it displaces all that other stuff that takes up our space and doesn't even give us anything in return. So that needs to be vacated. Be encouraged, ladies. He's drawing us into new places of filling and freedom for these days when it's so desperately needed. Father, in Jesus' name, We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your good work in this place today. And we call it sealed by you, Holy Spirit, so that nothing will come. No worries of this life will choke out the seed of the word. We declare that the seed is planted in good ground, that Holy Spirit, you, our teacher, will remind us. Your word says that you remind us of all the things that Jesus has taught. So I thank you that you will remind us of these truths, and you'll remind us and you'll call us away in those moments when those symptoms start to show their heads. So thank you. I bless your daughters in Jesus' name. I bless their families. I bless their workplaces. I bless their homes. I bless the congregations that they are a part of. I bless their marriages. I bless their desired marriages. I bless their physical bodies with strength. Renew them. I bless their minds to be renewed by the Holy Spirit into transformed thinking and therefore transformed living. So, Lord, I speak your blessing. We speak your blessing over the team that prepared this event. Lord, just pour out on them extra measure. Thank you for all the hands that have sown into this day. We love you, Jesus. Thank you so much. We love you.